There is sad news today. Comedian Don Rickles has died at age 80. Don's humor was never vicious or mean-spirited, and in person, he was an extremely nice, warm, and decent man. Don's humor did not center on any one political party or conservative versus liberal. He was an equal opportunity offender. Ann and I saw him a couple of times in Las Vegas. His was the kind of show where you paid the maitre d' to sit you in the back. You didn't want him on your case. Well, Bill O'Reilly has a new book. I'll get to my subject in a minute, but Bill O'Reilly has a new book out entitled Old School. It's a good read, and I'll share with you a bit of O'Reilly's wisdom in defining snowflakes versus old schoolers. You are a snowflake, he said, if you look to celebrities for advice about casting your vote. You're a snowflake if you can't understand why your college degree did not prepare you for any job at all. You're a snowflake if you think that Mexican food can only be cooked by Mexicans, Italian food by Italians, or Chinese food by the Chinese. Anything else is a crime against humanity. You're a snowflake if you believe that people in the military or law enforcement are not as smart or enlightened as you are. You're a snowflake if your idea of protest is burning down the neighborhood where you live. And you're a snowflake if you believe that climate change is responsible for the rise of ISIS. You're old school if you remember when a $20 bill was a lot of money. If you can remember when it was actually fun to go to an airport. You're old school if you look at young women on the red carpet and your first thought is that they should go home and get dressed. If you teach your children the difference in want and need, you're old school. You're old school if you can't understand why it's okay to require a photo ID to enter your office building, attend a Democratic convention, or NAACP get-together. But it's the end of democracy as we know it if you're asked to show an ID before walking into a voting booth. You're old school if you still bend over to pick up a penny, or if you put everything away in the kitchen before you go to bed. And you're old school if you don't expect a trophy for merely participating in an event. And lastly, you're old school if you can remember when the phrases, "we're breaking up" or "I'm losing you," were about your love life and not a cell phone. Times change, but we need not change with them. Progress is good only when it includes common sense. While career politicians fuss and obstruct in Washington, the world and our country is in turmoil. The hate and obstructionism from Democrats threatens our well-being. Their candidate lost. Get over it. Their attempt to put a liberal Supreme Court justice on the Supreme Court to replace the late Justice Antonin Scalia failed. Get over it. The hypocrisy of Democrats and Republicans approaches insanity. Democrats wanted to avoid any appointment to the Supreme Court during the last year of a president's term. That is, until they saw a chance to ram through Obama's choice, Merrick Garland, well within Obama's last year in office. There is no question that the Democrats would have done exactly what the Republicans did if the roles were reversed. And yet, the Democrats pretended to be outraged. That bitterness has extended to every single initiative that the Trump administration has put forth. Now, we all have to remember that Donald Trump made a series of promises to the American people while running for the presidency. He was elected based on the expectation that he would follow through on those promises, a rarity in Washington politics. To date, President Trump has not proposed any initiative that he did not promise to propose. And that means that career Democrats are striking out at the voters when they strike out at Trump. Surely we can all see the danger involved when a political party goes rogue and tries to undercut a duly elected president every day, 7 days a week. Democrats are so fixated on destroying Trump and getting us back on the liberal track that they are willing to destroy the country in order to do so. Obama and his Iranian Muslim puppet master, Valerie Jarrett, have been careful to cover their tails when playing dirty politics. After all, there are plenty of other surrogates who are willing to act on their wishes and then lie about it. The latest issue with Susan Rice is not trivial. It is extremely alarming. Remember that Susan Rice was Obama's pick as UN ambassador and was on the National Security Council. Rice is accused with considerable evidence of using her power on the NSA to monitor presidential candidate Trump and his campaign associates. She demanded confidential information on American citizens and then is accused of causing their identity to become public. Just 2 weeks ago, on MSNBC with host Judy Woodruff, Susan Rice lied about knowing nothing about this activity. It has been shown to be a lie. And this is the same Susan Rice who came before the Sunday news show cameras to tell the lie about Benghazi. According to Susan Rice, the massacre of four Americans, including our ambassador to Libya in Benghazi, was just the result of a spontaneous riot that was prompted by a private citizen's video considered anti-Islam. We now know that Rice was thrown out there where Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Valerie Jarrett would not go in order to divert our attention from the truth. It's astounding to me that these career Democrats are so loose and easy with their deviousness. Anybody with a brain could see that the Benghazi attack was not spontaneous rioting at all, but a carefully planned assault on our embassy in Libya. How often does a spontaneous attack occur whereby the rioters are carrying AK-47s and mortar rounds? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is never. Susan Rice never apologized to the American people for her obvious lies, and the Obama administration did not lift a finger to admonish or punish her. They could not do so because they had set her out there to lie. Barack Obama was not eligible to run for re-election against Donald Trump. And that begs the question of why the Obama administration used public money and Democrat-appointed personnel to get involved and try to sway the election. If Russia was meddling in our election, and there is so far no evidence that they were colluding with the Trump campaign, why was Obama meddling in the election himself? The answer is obvious. Barack Obama had much to lose if Hillary Clinton was not elected. First of all, you can bet that the Clinton camp knew where all the bones were buried in Obama's political graveyard. They had a full cannon ready to fire at Obama and Jarrett if Obama and his wife had not joined in to elect Hillary. It was well known in Washington for years that the Obamas and the Clintons hated each other. This wasn't a matter of just disliking. It was pure hatred. Yet Barack and Michelle Obama did a 180-degree turn and pretended to be kissy-kissy with the Clintons. Why? Well, in addition to the dirt the Clintons had accumulated against the Obamas' devious past, and which the Clintons would expose, Obama was covering his own tail. If Hillary was elected, with Hillary moving into the Oval Office, Obama's liberal policies would stay in place. Hillary did so herself. She said so. Obamacare, which Republicans and Democrats knew was designed to fail after Obama left office, would have Hillary Clinton to step in and save us by instituting a government-run health care system, just as she tried to do while her husband was president. Democrats apparently cannot see how the government runs health care in the Veterans Administration. Our veterans are dying while waiting for an appointment at the VA. Others sit there in pain in waiting rooms while their appointment time gets left in the dust. The reason, then, that Democrats are so bitter is that all of these plans went up in smoke with the defeat of Hillary Clinton. This election was not just about Donald Trump. The Democrats ran a terribly flawed candidate in Hillary Clinton, whose lies and ethics violations date back to her years in college. One scandal after another has followed Hillary Clinton for decades. She and her husband, Bill, have been masters at covering up their devious tracks. Whether or not another Democratic nominee could have bested Trump at the polls, we will never know. But the inevitability of voters denying Hillary Clinton, we do know. As for Joe Biden, Joe is known as Old Joe in Washington circles because of his tendency to stick his foot into his mouth and say the most outrageous things. Biden would not have beaten Trump. And who else was left? Pelosi? Schumer? Donald Duck? We have so many problems to contend with today. And yet, career Democrats are spending their time on calls for Trump's tax returns and the chairman of the Congressional Committee to recuse himself in the Russian investigation. Well, Chairman Nunes did just that, to quiet the phony accusations without facts. Now we'll see the career Democrats shifting to yet another demand. Now, notice that I differentiate between average, ordinary Democrats and career Democrats. That is because I know many good people who call themselves Democrats, but who seem to have no idea how far the party has drifted to the far left. My comments are directed at career Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Chucky Schumer, Maxine Waters, Elijah Cummings, Donna Brazile, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and a host of other opportunists and liberals. Think about that lineup of misfits for a moment, and then ask yourself, am I really in tune with those people? In a phone call this morning, Carl asked me what concerns me most about what's happening in our country today. I said that I was more concerned with the danger of an all-out war stemming from Syria or North Korea than a need for Trump's tax return. I want our listeners to understand what is at stake today. Men, women, and children, small children, were killed or maimed this week by poison gas. The name is going by me in just a moment, Secretary of State, told us there was no more weapons of mass destruction in Syria. Syria said there was no weapons of mass destruction said there. Now, I said that I was more concerned with that danger than anything else. By the way, it's John Kerry. Men, women, and children, small children, were killed or maimed, and we did nothing about it. The rebels blame Assad for gassing his own people. The world view, and that of President Trump, is that the heinous gassing of Syrians was carried out under orders from Bashar Assad. The Syrian problems could be solved by the United States, but for the involvement of Russia and Iran in propping up the murderous Assad regime. If the United States takes military action against Assad, we run the real risk of an all-out war with Russia and Iran backing Assad. Who knows where China would go? After all, neither Russia nor Iran nor China consider basic human rights in their own country, and Assad is easily controlled by those countries. Added to the volatile mix of world affairs is that nut job in North Korea, Kim Jong-un. While North Koreans outside of the capital, Pyongyang, are literally starving to death and eating grass soup, this maniacal dictator lives an opulent lifestyle and spends the country's money, what little it has, on his military and missile launches. China could stop the belligerence of Kim Jong-un if they wanted to do so. The very existence of North Korea is owed to China. In the Korean War, China moved its troops in to side with the North, while the United States fought for democracy with South Korea. Without the intervention of China on the side of North Korea, there would be a unified Korea today under democracy. North Korea cannot support itself by a wide stretch, and it's totally dependent upon China for oil, for food, and the basic necessities of life. The world's boycott of North Korea is only partially successful because the Chinese allow North Korea to earn currency in its import markets. China has thus far refused to bring Kim Jong-un into the real world, and he grows more delusional with each passing day. President Trump is meeting this week with the Chinese premier, and we can only hope that the president can get the Chinese to understand how grave the stakes are at this point. For his part, the delusional Kim Jong-un wants to have any talks direct with the United States, with China being left out. Again and again, this North Korean maniac has brought the world to the edge of war. Each time that he makes demands of the West and promises to change his ways, he reneges. Each time we have given in to his demands and the North Korean dictator has used the material help to keep his regime temporarily afloat, he goes back to his old ways. Almost within months, Kim Jong-un is back to his belligerent ways, building up his next threat of war unless he is paid off. There is no end to this demon's demands. Without these periodic bailouts from the West trying to buy peace, North Korea would be in full revolt. So you ask, why don't the North Koreans rise up against that dictator? The people are weak, they are malnourished, and they are deathly afraid, and with good reason. Kim Jong-un's military does not hesitate to kill anybody, even speaking against the regime. He had his half-brother killed. In addition, North Korea is the most secretive country on the planet by far. The peasants are denied internet service, and they have been subjected to propaganda all of their lives that tells them how bad off South Korea is and how lucky they are to be in the North. They know no difference. That propaganda is filled with lies, of course. If they only knew how prosperous South Korea was, they might try to rise up. But they are kept from that knowledge by their dictator, Kim Jong-un, and his father before him. That dictator is dangerous and getting more delusional by the day. He is surrounded by lackeys who dare not oppose him, and he uses the clout of China to make the world hesitate to stop him. Those two hotspots are what concern me the most in our world today. At any moment, the world could be thrown into a nuclear holocaust at the whim of a North Korean dictator or the Syrian dictator who keeps power only by the might of the Russian bear. Having said all of this, I am so disappointed that our political system is so divided, that our people have been so divided by political parties for their own selfish purposes. Evidence shows that Russia has tried to influence American elections for decades. We should expect no less from our enemies. To pretend that this past election was somehow different is wrong and offensive. To conclude that there was collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign with absolutely no evidence is hurtful for the country. Donald Trump did not cozy up to the Russians with a reset button, as did Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Nor did Trump allow Vladimir Putin to acquire a full 20% of America's uranium stock. That was Obama and Hillary Clinton. No Democrat raised objections when Obama and Clinton made those moves. It is time for Republicans and Democrats to put aside the bitterness and consider what's best for the country rather than their own selfish interests. Democrats and Republicans have always been divided, but the depth of that division has never been as great as it is today. What would you rather have? Donald Trump's tax returns or a unified stand against Syrian President Assad or North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un? Trump's tax returns would only give career Democrats more things to find fault with, and while their delusional diversion of world events can only increase the odds of World War III. As for the Republicans and the Democrats, we need to demand that they all grow up.